All right, good morning once again, everybody. We're going to turn back to God's Word, and we are still working our way through Matthew chapter 5. So let's start there, opening up to chapter 5. We're going to be jumping down to verse 33. And as you're turning there, just a reminder, we're moving through this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he is continuing to challenge us challenges us with what is often a superficial understanding of God's law. And he's calling us to a higher and deeper level of righteousness. And in doing so, he reveals our deep need for God to be with us, to work in us, to change us. He reveals our inadequacy to really live up to the kind of people God wants us to be, but meets us with grace. So let's read again in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. He says, again, you've heard it. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is for God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So in this passage, Jesus is referring to a couple of similar laws in the Old Testament. And we're going to take a look at a couple of those. The first is in Leviticus chapter 19. So back to the third book of the Bible, if you want to follow along, Leviticus 19. And in this chapter, God is giving through Moses a series of laws to the Israelites. It's just establishing his covenant with them, calling them to be holy because he is holy. Now, Leviticus 19, verse 12, Moses says to the people, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So making this very simple statement, do not swear falsely by my name. Right? Do not make false promises, declaring an oath to the Lord. And then in a similar way, if you turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 30, we see Moses once again instructing the people, the very next chapter of the Bible. This is after the people have wandered through the desert and they're about to enter the promised land. After 40 years of wandering, Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. And Moses says here, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. And so basically, in these laws, God is saying that if you're going to make a promise to do something, and especially if you're going to swear by the Lord that you're going to fulfill that promise, you better do it, right? It's sinful to not fulfill your promises. That's basically what this law is about. Swearing or taking oaths refers to all the different ways that we try to back up our promises with some kind of guarantee that we're going to do it. Think of all the different ways that we do this. Sometimes we invoke the name of God. Have you ever heard anyone or said to yourself, I swear to God I'm going to do it this time? That's the kind of oath that he's talking about. Or I swear on the Bible to tell the truth. There you go. As God is my witness, right? I'm going to follow through. God, strike me down if I don't do what I said. Any other ways that we've expressed that you can think of? We got a couple more in mind, but how about I swear on my mother's grave? Right? Sometimes it's not necessarily we're invoking the name of God, but or cross my heart and hope to die. Right? Think about what we're saying in those promises. Exactly. That's part of what this law is getting at, is do we really take it seriously? Even a simple, believe me, I'm serious this time. I'm going to follow through. That's an oath that you're declaring. That it's not just your word that you're standing on. It's this other guarantee. You can truly believe me. I know what I'm talking about. You can trust me. All these extra things that we say to guarantee this promise. And all these ways we try to back up those promises with some declaration that's intended to convince people that we're really serious and we're going to follow through. Or we hope that there's something that's going to happen to us if we don't. In all these ways, we try to back up these promises. In his law, God draws attention to the seriousness of these oaths, saying, look, if you're going to make these declarations, you need to follow through on them. Don't take your oaths lightly. Don't take your promises lightly, especially if you're going to swear on the name of the Lord. Now, the Pharisees had taken these laws that were meant to be a warning about being careful about taking oaths and use them for their own purposes. And you see a couple places in Scripture where Jesus highlights this. The first example is in Matthew chapter 15. If you want to take a look at that with me, we're going to turn back to Matthew chapter 15, where the Pharisees actually try to confront Jesus in this passage, starting in verse 1. Some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, he says. So basically what the Pharisees told people, if you want to dedicate something to the Lord, whether it's your service or your possessions that it would otherwise have been gone to your parents, you don't have to give it to them. It comes to us instead, right? You get to give it to the temple instead of honoring your mother and father because you swore to the Lord, right? So they tried to find these loopholes and ways to use God's laws to benefit themselves. Or in Matthew 23, Jesus calls the Pharisees out for their rules on oath-making. We'll take a look at that in verses 16 through 19, Matthew 23. He says, woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind man, which is greater, the gift or the altar, which makes the gift sacred? And you see in this that the Pharisees had created these different levels of types of oaths that you could make. And you might not be bound by one, but you're bound by the other. And they turned it into this system of legal obligations to bind you to different promises and maybe to catch people in their promises. When you think about it, we actually do something similar today in our culture. It's standard practice to make all kinds of oaths in our interactions with one another to guarantee compliance legally. We've developed all kinds of legal systems to swear oaths. We sign our names to them constantly, often without even thinking about it. Think about any time you make a major purchase, take out a loan, open a bank account, right? You sign a contract. You make a legal agreement between yourself and the people you're purchasing from. This is what I'm going to do. This is what they're going to do. We spell out all these legal obligations. Those are oaths that we're declaring. And we turn it into this document, this legal document, to guarantee that people are going to follow through on their obligations. Or consider what we do any time, almost every day, that you install a new program on your computer. What do? Click yes. Click yes. Right? That that license agreement pops up. You need to agree to this, but do you ever really read through it? No. You scroll through it. Yep. Look at the highlights, right? Exactly. But do we realize that we are swearing an oath when we click yes? We are declaring that we will agree to the obligations that are laid forth in that agreement. When you go canoeing and you sign a form, you're swearing an oath by your name, signed on that paper, that you will not sue them if something terrible happens to you. It's part of our everyday life. This idea of swearing oaths is built into those kinds of systems. And depending on the situation, you may need to provide all kinds of evidence to prove your ability to follow through on those agreements. You might have to show your ID. You might have to give some financial information. You got all kinds of things. Were you going to say something? Yes, absolutely. I'm going to mention that one in just a little bit. Yeah. No, that's all right. You're tracking with me, right? But it's not just the legal agreements that we're talking about. We're talking about especially our personal interactions with people. How often can you just take a person at their word? If someone wants to buy something from you directly and they'll like, I'll pay you next month. Are you going to trust them? No. If you, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that fits in with this message as well. It's the kind of people God wants us to be. If you make a promise to someone, do you need to feel you need to back up your promise in some way? To swear you're going to get it done this time? That you're going to follow through? Do you swear on your life? Do you swear to God's name that this time you will do what you say you're going to do? Do you feel that need sometimes? We have all these ways built into our culture of interacting with one another that involve doing or saying something to back up our promise. We have to prove that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And why is that? Because we're not trustworthy people. This applies to all of us, all human beings. Against this broken human backdrop that God gives his command. As we think about this, about how trustworthy we are, consider just how well we stick with our agreements, even when we take an oath. Right? Wendy mentioned that earlier. Do we really seriously hope to die? No. We just say that because it sounds like it's going to convince people to believe us. That's what it's really all about. We're trying to convince people to believe us, but we're not serious about that oath. Do you take time to read through every document and ensure you're in agreement with everything you're being asked to do? No. Consider the vast amount of debt people live in today. This is just a piece of this, that we don't take seriously the promises that we make to repay debt that we take out. Credit cards and loans accumulate because we're like, oh yeah, we just take out another one. Oh, we just add to the balance. We don't take seriously the oath to repay those things. We make promises, but we don't really intend to stick with them all the time. We look for loopholes and ways out, and we find ourselves uncomfortable with our circumstances. And that's what takes me to the marriage agreement, the contract. Jesus talked last week about divorce. At the minimum, marriage is a legal agreement between people to be bound together. Now, in the church, we have a higher standard of that. You're going to stand before witnesses and swear to God that you are going to be married and bound to one another. But how often do people in our culture take that promise seriously? We have developed systems to get out of it easily because we don't hold to our promises very well. We're ultimately untrustworthy people, all of us. Again, how many people do you really trust to follow through on their word, even if they swear it? I'm sure, like you, or like me, you can think of people that have let you down many times, and they come back to you again. I swear this time I will follow through. I will pay you back. I will do the thing that I said. I promise you can trust me. Right? All those oaths that they declare, are they serious about it? Very often not. Yeah, at the time, but really when you think about it, when you get down to it and maybe even examine your own attitude in those kinds of moments, what you're really worried about is convincing that person to give you what you want. You're not concerned about whether you can actually follow through. You have a good intention, but mostly you just want them to give you what you want. The point of Jesus' message is to call attention to the integrity of our word. This is the heart of God's law, and it's a reflection of our character. The heart of God's laws are that we would do what we say we would do. Those laws in the Old Testament are all about do what you say you're going to do. Is that such a hard law for us to follow? Apparently it is. And Jesus is calling us to a higher standard of integrity than what we typically accept. He says, in fact, in Matthew 5, do not take an oath at all. Don't swear. Don't make oaths. Not by heaven or earth or by Jerusalem, nor even by your own head. You don't have control over any of those things. So why do you use that as a guarantee for your promise? So don't take oaths at all. He destroys this entire system of making oaths, showing that you cannot use anything in creation to back up your word because it all belongs to God. He says you can't even control the color of one hair on your head. Why would you promise on your own head to do something? We ought to seek to have the kind of integrity that allows our yes to be yes and our no to be no without any other kind of backing. To be able to stand before people and say, I will do this or I won't do that. And your word stands. Anytime we feel the need to add that extra qualifier, to swear by anything, to make that extra oath, it's an evidence that we lack integrity. Now, consider the example Jesus set. He is the ultimate example of righteousness for us. The Apostle Peter testified to Jesus' character in 1 Peter 2:22, where he wrote, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus was just honest about who he was, what he could do, honest in everything he said. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Apostle Paul declares, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, referring to Jesus. And that is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. And he was speaking about Jesus' integrity in fulfilling his promises. It's one of the great hopes and joys that we have as Christians, that there's promises that Jesus made in Scripture, and we can believe him because he has the integrity to follow through on his promises. There is nothing that Jesus promised that he won't fulfill. His answer is always yes to what he has said he would do. Now, we may twist his promises into other things. We may expect other things. We have to learn to temper our expectations with what he actually said, but he always answers yes to what he promised. Throughout the beginning of the book of Revelation, we read these letters that Jesus wrote to different churches, and in every one of these letters, Jesus is declared to be faithful, the faithful and true witness. This is who Jesus is, and he can declare these things over the churches because he is faithful and true. He can be believed. He can be trusted. His word is true. In Numbers 23:19, going back to the Old Testament, there was a prophet, Balaam, who was called in to curse the nation of Israel, but he couldn't because God wouldn't allow him. And in 23:19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man, that he should change his mind? Has he said it and he will not do it? Or has he spoken and he will not fulfill it? And that passage alone just shows you the contrast that Jesus is highlighting, right? God is not like us. We lie. We fall short. We don't take our promises seriously, but God is not like that. God fulfills his promises. When he says he's going to do something, he will do it. That's the character that Jesus demonstrated. And that is the character Jesus is calling us to. That is a high standard to reach for. As always, the standards that God has for us are often higher than we thought they were. They bring us to a point of conviction. Jesus lived with perfect integrity. He did what he said he would do, did not do what he said he would not do. When he made a promise, he did so knowing that his word carries weight, that his promises were serious, and he was capable of fulfilling those promises. So he did not overpromise. He didn't make empty promises. He didn't try to make himself appear more capable than he was. He just was who he was. He presented himself truthfully as he was. So his yes meant yes and his no meant yes. Meant no. Sorry. That is a yes, right? My mouth fails me sometimes. His yes meant yes, his no meant no. And there is such a blessing that comes with living that kind of life. There's a simplicity to it. You don't have to try to live up to some standard, to prove yourself, to make yourself appear better or more capable than you are. You just are who you are. I am who I am. In a world full of deceit, you stand out for that kind of honesty. You are different than anyone else. And it is attractive and it opens doors to be able to share more of God's truth and love. And so we stand before Jesus and his words and we think about our own integrity. How often are our words rooted in some desire to be known as something greater than we are, to get what we want, or simply that we just don't trust God with the outcome. And we have to somehow make it work out the way we need it to. And so once again, we must present ourselves honestly to Jesus, knowing we fall short of God's standard. And just sit on that for just a moment and feel the weight of conviction with that comes, that we have not lived up to God's standard. And how does Jesus meet us with that? He acknowledges the truth and accepts us with grace. Praise God for his grace. And I hope you, like I, when I share these sermons, every time I get to this moment, I feel that weight in my chest of, yeah, Lord, I have fallen short. But I am so thankful for your grace. So thankful, because I have no other hope. It is on your grace and your love that I stand. And that is the place Jesus is calling us to throughout this sermon. Let's not fight it. Let's not deny it. Let's admit it and fall into his hands. As the Apostle John declares in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God that he will cleanse us. He is faithful. Once he has purified us, he takes that sin away and makes us clean. And when we surrender ourselves to him, he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. He enables us to live with that greater integrity, to gain the ability to become the kind of people who can simply say yes and no and let that stand. So the challenge for us is today is first confront our own integrity shortcomings and present them to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and ask him for his transformative power. And then we need to recognize those ways that we try to amplify our trustworthiness, the kind of oaths that we declare personally to try to make ourselves seem more trustworthy, the ways that we swear to God or urge people to trust us, tell them to just believe me beyond simply saying, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do that. Think about all those ways. Ask God to reveal those ways that you feel you need to go beyond a simple offer of what you can or cannot do. And ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to help you set those aside and build your own personal integrity. Building integrity is something that takes time. People have to see it as a pattern. Right? We can't simply start today and have people trust us. We have to build. But we can do it with the help of the Spirit's strength. Embrace the simplicity of letting your yes and your no be sufficient. Take seriously what you can and cannot do. Often we overpromise. Let's catch ourselves in those. Let's ask the Spirit to reveal them and just allow us to be okay with what we're capable of doing and trust him for the rest. Of letting your yes or no be sufficient. Yep. And it really is an act of faith to do that, isn't it? You know, I find myself thinking that even as I'm speaking these words, but, you know, there's so much more I want to be able to do. There's ways I want to fulfill things in life that I'm not capable of, and I don't want people to see me as weaker or less capable. That attitude comes through. It's okay to simply say, this is what I can do, and perhaps God does more. We don't count on that. We don't depend on it, but it leaves space for God to act and for us to point to him and say, look, here's what I said I can do. Look what God did. It was an act of faith in simply saying yes or no, and that's sufficient. Let God fill in anything that we are lacking in. Following this path of righteous integrity will strengthen your ability to be a light for Jesus in the world. It will open doors of trust. It will deepen roots of fellowship. And all those things enable us to stand out from the rest of the world, to be different than those who do not follow Christ, and who do not live by the strength of the Spirit, to stand out for your Christ-like character that he places in you. And all of that allows us to say, look what God has done. See who Jesus is. I am only this way because of him. It gives us the ability to witness to him in new ways. So let us submit our integrity to Jesus today and learn to allow our simple yes and no to speak more powerfully than any oath we could ever swear. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his integrity, for his fulfillment of his promises. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you that we can trust you fully, that when you have said you will do something, you do it, that you do not lie. That really is what our hope stands in, Lord, because we trust you fully with our lives. We trust you fully that you do accept us as we are, and Jesus has paid for our sin. We believe you because you are trustworthy. We thank you for working in us. We thank you that your Spirit is with us, and we just lay down our lives to you today. We lay our integrity before you today and ask you to work in us, to build us up that we may stand out, to be more like Jesus in the way we present ourselves, and let our yes be yes and our no be no. In Jesus' name, amen.